I don't have time for this. Sorry. More than 1,000 times I must have said this sentence in my entire life. Probably thousands of times. I don't have time for this. And if I think about it a little bit more carefully, I think this sentence is complete and utter nonsense. Because it's defined how much time you and I have every single day. It's 24 hours a day. The question is not how much time I have. The question is where to invest this time. And with this sentence, I'd like to extend a warm welcome to you. I'm glad you're back here in the Lightwolf podcast, investing some of your time into developing yourself and maybe getting one more little hint and tip. How to get more value from your limited time and how to turn yourself into an even better leader. Let me start with a quote from Seneca, an old Greek philosopher I really like. I like that quote. Years ago, I went along a house, and on that house, in big letters, there was this quote that really literally made me stop. I reread it and went like, wow! What a powerful thought. Already Seneca said, it is not the little time we have, but the lot of time we are not using wisely. Unquote. And I just thought, spot on. What a powerful thought. And I think it just reminds me of my own need to first lead myself. Yeah, and if you think about it, for a long time, I thought, for a couple of years, I thought I'm leading my team. And yes, of course I am, and that's not wrong. But the most important person you are leading in your life is not your team. The most important person you are leading is yourself. I think the second most important person you lead is your boss. And then only the third most important, with all due respect, is your team, your peers, and everybody else. And one key part of leadership and self-leadership is using time wisely. In the use of time, I, observing myself and observing many others, I've worked with more than 5,000 leaders over the last 10 years, I've seen some people just developing habits like all of us do. We all develop habits over time. Some, for instance, developed the habit to never say no to any request from above, to never challenge or decline any request from my own boss, for the fear of not wanting to disappoint anyone, or for the fear of looking like a non-performer. And while I do understand the comfort, the concern, the reasoning behind it, I would like to challenge this. I think it's a super opportunity to really use time wisely, to think whether the request that's coming my way makes sense and not only adds value, but adds more value than cost, and also adds more value than the big alternative opportunities I could invest the same time into. Time is limited, and that's something we just have to accept, even if we don't like it. And therefore, over time, some people develop well-intended, long-gained habits, and that's exactly the kind of habit that occasionally needs to be questioned, challenged, and changed. In the old world, 20, 30 years ago, my observation is that money was treated as by far the most important and the most limited resource. And don't get me wrong, money still matters a lot. But over the last decades, I observe a subtle rebalancing between money and time. I think more and more time is becoming the scarcer resource in the business world and therefore deserves very careful management. Because money is a renewable resource. If you are my boss and I invest some 100,000 euros into a test market on an innovation and I screw it up, I sink it and it just miserably fails. If I figure out what the one or two key reasons are for that failure, and if I know how to change it, how to improve the plan, then it's well possible that with finding those two flaws and stopping them and changing the plan for country B, that next year I do a similar innovation test in country B and I return 500,000 euros back to you and to our profit bottom line. So money is renewable. Time is not, because once it's invested, it's gone. And therefore it's important, so valuable, to think about time and to manage time in a very careful and reflected manner. And it is clearly possible to get more value out of your limited time. And that is, again, a super learning for the month of August 2020, coupled with a couple of simple ways to stop time eaters. Tip number one, think, ask, say no. It's impressive to see how many things are done, although they may not necessarily have to be done, and they can be stopped if we just have the right conversation. Just last week, I again worked intensely with a client who worked with our company for many years now. I met again a wonderful man who made it a habit, who changed the habit, in fact, who told me when we worked on using time efficiently, on communicating efficiently some years back, he said, you know, in working with your team, Stefan, I realized that I had a habit of accepting almost any meeting I was invited to, because all of them made sense. All of them added value. So I accepted all of those invitations. However, I then realized that I'm spending most of my business life in meetings, and I changed that habit. And I asked myself, in those occasions when I was not crystal clear on the outcome of the meeting or not absolutely convinced that my contribution to this meeting is necessary rather than nice to have, I just went back, asked, what's my role in the meeting, and do you really think I have to be there, or is there a better way? And sometimes I found that just a 5-minute investment into sharing the right piece of information replaced the need for being in a meeting for 3 hours. And that's what I made a habit. And the result is that after this habit change, 3 to 4 out of 10 meetings happened without him, and they still worked. And that freed up 3 to 4 days of his work time every single month. So reflect. Think about your last couple of months and all the meetings you attended. Are there 1 or 2 or more among these meetings where your attendance was really nice, but not absolutely required? If yes, then challenge these meetings and your participation in it. Maybe you can invest your time more wisely. Another way to find time by thinking, asking, and then saying no is to look forward. When I was a young leader, when I was a young man in the first part of my career, my habit was to look at the next weeks and how can I add even more? Because more helps more and more projects give us more profit. Not always. In the meantime, I've changed this and I'm looking at my next 2 weeks, what can I take out? What can I say no to? What can I do later? What can I stop? What can I merge? So rather than adding more, take stuff out. And reflecting now, whenever I do this, I have a successful week. And whenever I feel a little overloaded by things, by projects, by requests, in fact, I have not been disciplined at doing this. So look at your next 2 weeks and ask, what in these next 2 weeks can you either reduce in scope, in size, or simply say no to? So that ultimately, you end up in a 70-20-10 pattern. 70% of your time is invested into your top 3 goals. 20% of your time is invested into your priority B goals, those 5 or 6 other things that also deserve your time. And 10% of your time ideally should be free, unearmarked. Why? Well, because you need time to simply think, to reflect, and you will need time, I guess, to respond to the unexpected, because every single week, particularly nowadays, has something unexpected in it, doesn't it? So look forward, think what you can say no to, and then check. Am I investing 70% of my time into my top three goals? Am I investing 20% of my time into my prior B goals? And is there 10% free, unallocated? Then I think you'll have an effective and productive time ahead. So tip number two to stop time eaters. Think, ask, say no. Now, tip number two, bundling. Maybe you've listened to the Lightwolf Leadership Podcast interview in July with Hanneke Faber, a wonderful woman, a top-notch business leader. She shared a couple of tips, a couple of great insights, how she develops herself into the outstanding leader she is. And she also shared her story of taking over a business that had grown about 5 to 10% per annum in the 5 years before her. And then she managed to change the pace of growth substantially, because in her 5 years, she quadrupled the business. And one of the key ways how she did that was bundling. How? She grouped many mid-sized projects into fewer projects, but bigger ones. And the pace they gained behind that was just amazing. They saved time and grew much, much faster. So one excellent example of bundling. And another example from my own time, once in my corporate life, I ran Europe. I ran a beer company together with many people, and five of my colleagues together with me led the European business with about 20 countries. And we observed that in innovation, because we were the most local of the four big global brewing companies, we were very local. We often did the same thing in 10, 12, 15 countries, working in parallel, working on the same kinds of innovation. So we then tested and improved by doing things once rather than 15 times. And one country tested as a test market, qualified, and if things worked, then we rolled it out to other countries, which helped us to get much, much faster by bundling. So question to you, when you look at the work you're doing right now, look at your projects, look at your goals and your work. Are there any topics you could bundle, where you could bundle small to mid-size projects or mid-size to bigger projects? Think. Can you bundle? It'll help you stop time eaters. And tip number three, make meetings efficient. Again this morning, I read a study saying that the average person working in the corporate world in Europe, once administration is done, meetings are over, emails are worked, 56% of the work time is gone. Wooms. 56%. And many people complain that they spend 6 or even more hours every single day with meetings back to back. Therefore, since meetings are such a big time eater, three simple tricks. And if just one of them is new to you or slightly new, maybe it helps you save a lot of time. Three simple tips how to use your meeting time efficiently. A, before the meeting. Before the meeting, think. We are not meeting to talk. We are meeting in order to achieve an outcome that can better be met by meeting rather than people working independently. But sometimes, even if we do think so, we are wrong. Sometimes the fastest way to get to the outcome is a one-on-one real conversation about a tough issue. And if in your case, achieving your goal can be achieved with a one-on-one, then please do so and don't even invite to the meeting. If, and I agree that's probably the majority of cases, if you convince yourself, however, that a meeting is the most productive and the most efficient use of company time, then by all means, go and invite. Set a clear goal, set a clear agenda, with clear outcomes per meeting block, clear roles, clear owners, but do not schedule meetings for 60 minutes. This is one of the old habits that in big corporations has just eaten a lot of time. We made it a habit to schedule full hour meetings. Stop it. Never schedule 60 minute meetings. Schedule 45 minutes. Why? Because when well prepared, you'll get the same outcome in 45. And the 15 minutes that you give people before the next meeting starts at the full hour, these 15 minutes allow people to go to the bathroom, to have a cup of coffee, to just relax, to download important information from the first meeting, and to mentally prepare for the next meeting. So don't schedule 60-minute meetings anymore. Schedule them for 45. B. In the meeting, as few participants as possible. Yes, many people might want to participate, but you should not have all the people in who would like to, but just the very few who are needed for the outcome. Stick to the topic. And if there is a new valuable topic arising in the discussion, which is great, then hallelujah, take it, park it, assign a next step and an owner, and then return to your topic. Make sure that everyone contributes, that everyone gives her or his honest view, particularly if it's a very contradictory one, because that's when a meeting gets productive. And stick to the agenda, get decisions taken, agree them, lock them, and only then close the meeting. And see after the meeting. Please make sure that after the meeting, within 24 hours or less, everyone who needs to know gets a meeting report, maybe online, on a drive, so that people know, okay, meeting is over, it's an hour after the meeting, probably the meeting summary is already out there. I just have to search on the right drive and look for it. But make sure that those who need to know have access to the information fast after the meeting. So, tip number three to stop time eaters, make meetings efficient. Net, my three best tips for you, how to stop time eaters, the learning of the month in August 2020. One, think, reflect, say no. Two, bundling. And three, make meetings efficient. So are you a leader yourself? Do you lead a team? Do you lead a business unit, a country, or an entire company? And are you interested in stopping time eaters in your company? Then please, by all means, we have lots of solutions that we can tailor to your need. Please write an email to stefan.hohmeister@gmail.com. And shortly, we'll be on the phone starting to solve your biggest time eater problems on the phone. Or would you just like to have tips on strategy and leadership? Do you like the way that this Lightwolf podcast is run? Then by all means, subscribe to the Lightwolf podcast and feel free to give me a star rating in iTunes. That helps to make the podcast visible and helps people who might be interested as well get aware of it. And if you have questions or feedback, drop it. I'm very curious to learn how you like this. And for today, I'm glad you invested your time. I'm grateful. Thank you very much. Good luck with the tips, and already now looking forward to our next conversation. Thank you very much. Your Lightwolf, Stefan.